Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, Northampton. Welcome to the Royal. Please welcome a man who has all the Northampton news for you. It's Richard Herring! Thank you very much. Oh, hello. How lovely to see you all. Thank you for coming along. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lapping Silverstone Tossers podcast. Going to head down to Silverstone. All the kind of people who like going to Silverstone... Ah, dicks. I hope there's none in. So Jeremy Clarkson-esque. And I'm going to go in a faster car and beat them all. That's what today's podcast is going to be all about. It's a different format than usual. Though I was hanging around at Icarus Falconry today. Now, I don't think the person who named that really knew who Icarus was. They just read the first bit of the Icarus story. Though this will be a good name for a falconry, won't it? They call it Rallister, but they're so good. Local falconry. So look, it is always lovely to come to a city. I like a new place. We've been to Northampton on the last tour. I'm not sure I gleaned this information. I didn't know that there was a Great Fire of Northampton. I mean, some of you probably remember it in 1675. Like 80%, three quarters of the buildings in Northampton were destroyed. Suspiciously, the Hazelrigg Mansion survived. I think it might have been them. And that came after Charles I had destroyed the city walls and the castle as well. So, you know, someone's got it in for you, haven't they? No one remembers the fucking Great Fire of Northampton, do they? I think it's time to bring that back, to be fair. So let's properly destroy this place. I was very excited to find out about that. I love history, so I was excited to find out about that. Features in Alan Moore's Jerusalem, of course. Some of this is just facts. So I've been reading the Northampton Chronicle. Again, I like a chronicle. So a little bit overblown for the local. It's the chronicle of everything that's happening in Northampton. The new two main headlines in the that have been chronicled today. Personal trainer set to break world record by walking up mountain backwards. That's the headline. You can always tell what a place is like from the headlines. A lot of places are just murder, death, drugs. Oh, a man's going to walk up a mountain backwards. Put it in the paper. Good luck to him. The second piece of news. Stone dog statue returned to rightful owners after it was stolen from driveway. That is... The level of the crime, plus the fact the crime was solved. That's what we have in Northampton. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my children before we crack on. My daughter, Kate, burst in last night. She came, burst into the room, all excited. And she said, I've discovered something that rhymes with orange. Obviously, she'd been, maybe at school, they'd been talking about how nothing rhymes with orange. And my 8-year-old daughter thought, I'm going to find out if that's true. Going to put my mind to it. And not only did she do that, she found something that rhymed with orange. That's incredible. It's incredible bravado from an 8-year-old to think they could solve that where no one else has done. I said, what is it? She said, forange. And I said, okay, what does that mean? And she said, you know, it's like when people talk different languages. I said, do you mean foreign? And she went, oh. And walked. But I felt bad. I should have gone along with it. But also, forange is quite a good word for foreign language. Isn't it? Just make it, that could be the new forange. It's forange. They're speaking in forange. I don't know if I'm a good or a bad person for not just telling her, well done, that was brilliant. But she looked so crestfallen. She was so delighted, then so crestfallen. She still believes in Father Christmas. We've got a young man in the front row. He's not real. Might have to cut that out because sometimes people listen to this. And it's, no, she's 8 and I think this will be her last Christmas believing Father Christmas. She does at least believe in getting the presents. So it's terrible to see that innocence destroyed. My son, they don't really drink fizzy drinks and stuff. It hasn't happened for us. But my son's obviously heard about Coca-Cola and he keeps on going about wanting to drink it. But he calls it Cola Coke. He says, can I have a Cola Coke? And it makes me laugh so much. I'm not going to tell him the real name because he looks like a fucking idiot. In our family, we still call maple syrup April syrup, which is a trick I've been playing on them for quite a while. It's good to make... good, isn't it, Dad, to make them feel stupid? You've probably got some stuff for him. Anyway, good. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming to the show. No, I'm not going to pick on you. You're going to learn some things that you should not know. Right. My guest this week is probably best known for his groundbreaking advertisement for Weetabix Go Breakfast Drink. Talking of Coca-Cola. Made in Northamptonshire. So, you know, that's the connection. Will you please welcome the incredible John Poynting, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is. The Weetabix Go Breakfast Drink. Hello. Welcome. Come in. Sit down.
Hello.
Have you brought some Weetabix breakfast drink?
I brought you a gift that I didn't give you in your room.
Okay.
Do you want it now?
I mean, yeah, why not? It depends what it is. Should we wait till later?
Okay.
You got a gift that I've left you backstage as well, so, you know, it's nice.
Okay, we can nice exchange later.
That's very nice.
Well, you can have it, yeah, in a bit. If we run out of things to
have it in a bit,
say,
let's build
and
up.
And we get through these books.
We've got a lot of questions to ask you. It's about 10,000 questions we've got to ask you. Tell us about the Weetabix Go. I watched it today.
I think I do still get recognised
for
that more than most things I've done.
Right, okay.
In fact, I went to a pub in Kentish Town and the guy behind the bar suddenly emerged and went, mate, would ya? And he had just a bottle of this drink. and he put it behind the bar. I still get recognised for that quite a bit. Never drank it.
Never drunk it?
Never
even in the advert?
No. All I said... We're going to be doing this all day. Let's make sure that's water, I think.
Okay. Well, that's terrible. That means you have to give all the money back if you didn't.
Yes.
If you didn't actually drink it. Do they still make Weetabix Go drink? Is it still going?
I don't know. Do they?
I don't know. You're the guy. You're the Gio Campari of Weetabix Go.
Once the check's in, I'm done.
It's a good thing. Well done. Right, look, there's...
You know, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. I think the first thing I want to talk to you about, I want to know more information about, is that I read you made a trilogy of gangster films when you were a child. Is that true?
Wow.
Yeah, I go deep into the research.
You really do. So basically,
I like the fact it's a fucking trilogy as well. This is what I like. We didn't just make a film, we made
Sergio,
three of them.
They were called the Sergio Mena trilogy.
Okay.
It was. My friend, I suppose this was my first foray into comedy. Mm-hmm. My friends, Harry and Tice, they found someone was moving out of their house and they're convinced that they just didn't want this pile of stuff on the side of the road. And one of them was this camera. but it was really old then. It was like straight to VHS. Like you put a VHS tape in the side of the camera. Anyway, they took it and they did run away. So that I don't know. I don't know if they were getting rid of it. But anyway, so we had that, and yeah, we started making silly films, and we were sort of at that age where we were kind of starting to watch films we probably shouldn't be, like gangster films and stuff, yeah. And it was Lock, Stock and, you know, Pulp Fiction and things like that. And basically what would happen is Harry would come up with an idea of a gangster film, we'd start filming it, we'd sort of run out of steam and get a bit bored, and then it would sort of descend into kind of like just being stupid.
And then
you could just stick it straight in the tape and watch them back. It was great. But we only had one tape, so as time went on, you would get snippets of old films in between shots and stuff. But it was really, I mean, I sort of, in a weird way, I think I learned, it was like a good, it was a good way to, it definitely gave me like an editor's brain. That was good, because you have to like edit in camera as you're doing it. So a lot of the time, you know, once you've moved on, you can't go back. Otherwise you have to record the whole thing again. So it meant that there'd be like, someone would die, and then just before it cut, they'd go, car. And then they'd sort of, yeah, we'd move on. But yeah, so those were the gangster films. No one knows where that tape's gone.
Oh.
I know one of them, actually, we were filming this thing and we were like, you know, doing like these bad American accents, like, oh, the cocaine is in the bag and the money's over there. And then someone had accidentally pocket dialed the police. Oh, fucking hell, Harry! Things like that happened a lot.
Do you not think about getting another tape?
Why did we not just get up? But it was, I think it was quite a specific.
Yeah, you're quite young, right, as well. So there might VHS might have just not been available anywhere.
I don't think it really, I guess it might. Mm.
I could have given you some tapes to
God,
tape
that's
over.
A good question. Yeah.
I've got a lot of VHS tapes. I've still got some VHS tapes if it was the big ones.
You've still got the VHS
I've still got
tapes.
Some that I've like recorded the young ones and stuff on in 1980.
Oh, so. That's quite nice.
Yeah.
Did you try and stop when the adverts would come in?
Kevin Turvey, there was no adverts, but Kevin Turvey, which was Rick Mail's first character, was on a show called A Kick Up the 80s. And even though I was like 14, I suppose, or 13 or 14, I knew the rest of the show was shit. So that's not entirely fair, but I'd only recorded Kevin Turvey. Yeah. I think Robbie Coltrane was on. Remember Kick Up the 80s? Yeah, it was quite mainstream, but Kevin Turvey was very alternative and... I knew there was something.
They might be worth some money now.
Yeah.
VHS will be like vinyl, I think.
I don't think it'll be worth any money.
No?
Hey, no one's got a VHS player, including me. I think there might be one somewhere in the house.
I heard a really strange thing, which sort of freaked me out, which is that the young people now, the new thing, well, it's not a new thing, but like they kind of... It's a sort of almost like art to them, like sort of obscure, cool art. It's a DVD menu. Like that's like specifically created for, I don't know, have you seen the DVD menu of Indiana Jones yet? Or like, it's like art to them. It's like a strange, I think it gets projected in sort of cool bars and things.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, it's sort of weird to have lived through like four or five formats of things.
What's your favourite?
I don't like with music. I remember playing 78s on admittedly an old. Do you know what 78s even are? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
There were different sized records, and on a record player you had to put them at different
78
speeds.
78 times. Yep. No.
So most records were 33 or for an LP and 45 for a single. Well, the 78s were, I don't know what they were. They must have been bigger than, they were like, no, I don't know if they were bigger or just the grooves were closer
together.
The
windy thing.
I didn't, it wasn't a windy one, but it was an old one. And I had a defunct, really old player in my bedroom that was as big as a cabinet that was that had been handed wow. down. That didn't really work anymore. So, yeah, so I've been through that. Tapes, record, like vinyl records, CDs, and now MP3s. And there was mini discs in between.
Mini discs. That was a short-lived yeah. little, yeah.
So what's going to be next? Well, it's just going to be beamed straight into your head somehow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, straight in. Just go, you think the thing.
Yeah, will there be a sort of play button in front of you that yeah. moves with you?
AI, so that's a new one as well. That's the newest one. AI just made up music. You don't even have to be a real music. It's a real music.
Yeah. It's not really like a... I suppose, yeah, maybe that's a format. Is it? AI, yeah. the format of AI?
Yeah,
we're going to go to an AI night. For a laugh.
We're going to listen to some unwritten Beatles songs or whatever. I mean, it wouldn't be Beatles. But, you know. Yeah, interesting. People in Northampton are confused because they're still on 78s at the moment. They say, that's why... Oh, no, your 78s got burnt up in that fire, didn't they? So that's why they all got burnt up. Look, you've got... I can't quite work out where you came from, apart from the gangster movie. So you had an Edinburgh show, but were you doing... You were at Winchester University, right?
Yeah.
So did you...
Gangster that movie, was a, long break.
Yeah, that was a... But obviously you were interested in drama and you went to study drama at Winchester University.
Yeah, I think I was a bit naive sort of applying to unis. I sort of thought, well, they're all good. My sister's at that one. Great. So I went to Winchester and, yeah, it wasn't really like drama school. It was kind of like, yeah, drama studies. It was sort of a bit of both. It was a lot of book work and a bit of practical. So I kind of left Winchester sort of back at square one, really.
Right.
Like within an hour of leaving, I just felt like I was just looking for work on Gumtree at Mum's. Like, what was the point of that? I had no connections. I remember said to my... it doesn't matter. I said to my, teacher, like, we did do a practical play at the end. It was like, can we invite people? Do we know anyone to come? He's like, nah, it's just for the school, I think. I was like, but I'm just because I'm about to leave, I think it might be quite good if... Nothing, just nothing.
No one's allowed to come.
No one's allowed to come. Literally, couldn't invite anyone. So it was that kind of uni.
Yeah.
So it took me a while. It meant that it just took me a long time to sort of really even understand how you do things like get an agent or like Edinburgh. They didn't even tell us about Edinburgh.
Right.
Yeah, which is like the thing at uni. So, yeah, I basically went my brother-in-law... Ed Eales-White. He was in a comedy group called Clever Peter. I don't know if you ever remember.
I do remember Clever Peter, yeah.
Yeah. So I remember going out to Edinburgh and seeing him, and comedy was just like, it was kind of within my reach a little bit, but I just didn't really, again, I just didn't know how to do it. And then one year, my sister said, our friend's going up to Edinburgh, she only wants to do half an hour, why don't you say you'll do the other half hour?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why don't I say that?
Okay.
So
had you done anything at this point, or you just thought, I'll give it a crack from zero? Were you doing clubs? I've seen so you do sort of stand-up character of... was this what you
were...
No,
that was my
was?
First ever comedy thing. I think my first ever... Yeah, that was my first time doing comedy that year, which I think was like 2014.
Right.
I'd done little bits here and there. I'd done a bunch of KFC adverts.
Oh, I missed those on my side. I'd have chosen those.
There's loads more as well.
Okay.
There's much worse than that.
So you're getting work and you kind of... you had a quite successful Edinburgh... Was that the Edinburgh show that was successful or was it the next year that you took,
that
out,
was,
took up your own show?
No, that was... I was just happy to sort of be there. Then the second year, my brother-in-law Ed was like, do you want to come and sort of stooge my character show? And we did that, and I did a couple of gigs with him, and they sort of went well. And then we're like, well, let's do it together. Let's be a double act. Let's do a sketch show, which we did, which lasted 2 years-ish. We did one Edinburgh, and we kind of really sort of like raced through the process of being in a double act and working together.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I noticed you wrote a short film called Double Act.
Yes,
so
we
was
did,
that
yeah.
after the double act, or was that the
that
double
was sort
act
of in yeah, the double that act? Was after Edinburgh. That was a kind of Yeah, that was kind of towards the end of it, I guess.
Right.
But I think it's difficult, isn't it? And also, Ed, you know, he'd been doing comedy for a long time. The sort of dynamic that we played on was that I'm just like all bright-eyed and really happy to be there, and he was a bit sort of fed up, and it was, we're like, oh no, it's true, isn't it? This is what we're taking the piss out of. It's true. So we would like go to a gig, and I'd be like, yes, look, there's loads, look, and he would just be sort of just done with it,
right?
Which I think is fair enough, you know. So and also at being brothers in law. We had to kind of look after that as well. We didn't want to just be like at each other's throats.
Yeah, I've done a couple of double acts myself, and it can be quite tricky.
Yeah,
I've had a lot of relationships in different kind of things with people, and they've pretty much all gone wrong. So I think that it might be down to me.
You're the common thing in all those failures.
I've been married to someone for for 16 years, so that's working so far. But the moat will fall from her eyes eventually.
Yeah, just don't do a show together, I guess.
Don't work
together.
She's done the podcast, and I've done her podcast sometimes, but we occasionally comes up. But that's, she sometimes says, should we write something together? And I go, oh, no.
I'm unbearable.
I think it's just, but also it's because of that. The minute you start working together, then it changes the whole thing. So I think, like, can work, but in a romantic thing where you...
I really miss it now. I think we both do. Yeah. That's the thing. We both know that we want to work together again. And it's sort of like, sounds really strange. Like, we want to work together, we want to do it, but we think that we'll just ruin it. I don't know. I think we're just quite protective of our actual friendship, maybe. But maybe that's also just, you know... you all get a bit caught up in Edinburgh. You sort of feel like it's the most important thing in the world. And
yeah.
It's that whole process of getting yourself out there is a bit exhausting.
It is. It's difficult. But it seems that you had sort of very rapid rise to success. The first thing I saw you in was Plebs. But before that, presumably, you'd done Please Like, had you?
Yeah. Please Like was the first sort of thing where I was like, oh, there's people I sort of know in comedy, that knew of in comedy that I'm working with. But that was, before that, it was just sort of about 10 years of plotting.
Right.
Of just sort of doing nothing really and being that sort of frustrated. And also enjoying myself as, you know, younger and doing whatever.
You're still very young, by the way.
Yeah.
From where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
Still, you can still enjoy yourself. There's still some time. Enjoy it before you become old and nothing works anymore. It'll be fine.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let's talk about... there's a couple of things. There's a couple of things you're working on currently, I think, or are about to come out when we're recording this. They may be out by the time it comes out. But Big Boys has been like a massive success, which I saw a bit of the time, but I watched it today again. And tell us about what the idea behind that sitcom is and how you got to be in that sitcom.
Big Boys is it's written by Jack Rook, who I met quite a few years ago through my wife, who you met earlier. Mm-hmm. I meet everyone through my wife, actually. I met you through my wife. I met Jack Rook through my wife. So it's a sort of semi-autobiographical story about him losing his father and then going to university and kind of coming out and dealing with his sexuality. And that whole... The first series is a kind of sort of coming-of-age sort of story that morphs into more of a, like, friendship-slash-family unit, I think.
Yeah.
And he meets my character, Danny, who is this kind of unlikely sort of duo, this sort of lad's lad, or seems to be like this lad's lad. They sort of start a kind of unlikely friendship. And it's very sweet and it's very funny. And
yeah, it's an interesting character because I think, again, if you only watch the first couple of episodes, maybe the first episode, there's little hints that there's more to your character than it appears. Not that it's still not an interesting and insane character, but it's about...
But I know, yeah.
It's, you know, he seems like a nice but laddie lad.
Yes, I think it's good because for years, I sort of had this running joke that every casting I got, I would look at the sides, the script, and... every character I went up for would be like, is there going to be any girls there? That was the sort of general, like, attitude of all of them. which Danny is, but it was nice to sort of get that and be a character that subverts that sort of trope.
Yeah. And you got nominated for a BAFTA for that, which is an incredible achievement.
Yeah. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what it must be like.
But you were on the board. That's
a secret. I told you must never tell anyone. I decided the best entertainment male, I think, is what it was that I had to decide.
Yeah, you're in the corridors of power.
Yeah, I could have made or broken you. So yeah. Remember that. Be nice to me. Because I might be... They won't have me on because now I've talked to them. One of the rules, there's only...
Oh, is this the rules?
You must not talk about the experience at all. I talk about it all the time. To everyone I couldn't find.
Why? Well, that's ridiculous.
I don't know. They take themselves pretty seriously up at BAFTA, and rightly so. It's a very serious award.
It's an award, right?
Yeah.
For someone who's really good at entertaining people.
Yeah.
But you mustn't talk about it.
I think it's true across all of the things. So it's a secret about who's deciding. Because it's different every year, right? So it's a they change the panels, and it's a different panel for each category. And... some things go on in that room
it's because it's okay.
But actually, you don't know who's won until I think we sort of maybe knew. But you've got to put your vote in, so everyone could lie.
It's definitely
about
very serious. We had a great time. I loved it. But there's a side of it, the serious side of it, that is a bit makes you feel nervous about. Like it's the awards. It's big. Maybe that's important to sort of keep that.
It is, but I think it is, I think it's easy for an award to become devalued not that important. And I think, although I have to say this because I work for them, no, I don't. I think, BAFTA remains one of the ones that I think it is a seal of approval.
Yeah, and
nominations as well. It's not so much in the entertainment category of the year I did it, but every other time.
Yeah,
it's like a really important thing. So it must have made a big difference in terms of your recognition within the industry.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. Yeah, it was really nice thing to happen, and I think you do have to sort of think that it's also just what it is. It doesn't sort of mean everything.
No.
But it's a bit like with the Edinburgh Award. Like once, I remember after Big Boys come out, there was a few people that were like, BAFTA, you're going to get BAFTA for this, and people saying BAFTA. And I sort of remember feeling like, oh, you ruined it now. Because if I don't, I'm going to feel like achieved what it should have achieved. And the show's enough. Like doing the show and being in it and having everyone sort of, in the response it had, is enough. But it's also nice to have a BAFTA as well. That was nice.
And you got ID'd when you went into the Royal Television Society Awards, right?
There.
Yeah. I mean, you do look young.
And I was like, I don't know, I haven't got it. So you can't come in.
Was it because of your age or because you had to be, like, identifiable as you?
Oh, I didn't think of that. I assumed it was an age thing.
Yeah. I mean, I assume it is.
Really, really strange. I don't know what was happening to that particular person at that time.
No.
But it just suddenly was like, oh, I'm trying to get into a nightclub. Like, that's what it feels like.
Imagine not letting you in. That would have been pretty impressive.
I know. But eventually I found a picture of it and that was okay.
You've had a picture of your driving licence?
Yeah, yeah.
Online. Ready to go. And there's another series. You've finished the second series. That's coming out pretty soon as we're...
Yes. I don't know when this will be out, but it'll be... Maybe it'll already be out by then.
I think it'll be out and finished and your career's over. That's what I've heard. They found all your secrets. And there seems to be, from the first series, I don't know, because Jack sort of is narrating it and talking about you, yeah. And it's all narrated towards you. Do you know where it's heading? Is it heading somewhere sort of dark or is it going to be... Or is it going to be an ongoing thing, or is this just two series wrap it up?
I think the second series it sort of goes deeper into everyone's sort of storylines a bit, and you know, yeah. I mean, what can I say? It does sort of carry on down that path.
Yeah.
But I don't know where it necessarily is going to end yet, but. No. Series two is, what can I say? What am I allowed to say? Well, if this is out in April, I guess, like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm still there. It's fine.
But I think I've read people saying, you know, it's very big for men's health and men talking about stuff. Yeah. And your character's kind of has an erectile dysfunction problem because of medication he's taking. Which, again, it's such a great idea, you know, a great idea and a great thing to do, to make a character like that be that vulnerable,
yeah.
and you know, the very essence of him really being kind of challenged by that. So it's a very moving... It starts off, you think, oh, okay, I've got it, it's going to be kind of quite a silly... Not quite in-betweeners, but, you know, the in-betweeners at university, a little bit sort of thing. But it's a lot deeper than that, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what Jack's definitely... All those shows that we all sort of grew up on are, like, definitely an influence on it. And, yeah, it's heavy stuff sometimes, but I think it is and hope that it's sort of dealt with by us and Jack in a way that's, like... It works because they're sort of this, it's still funny and it's still sort of full of heart, and so you can kind of get away with it, I think.
Yeah. Do you feel, I mean, I can't tell with TV anymore whether, like, you know, this is a really successful TV show and been nominated, but you know, there's so many TV shows and so many channels and less people are watching TV. Does it feel when you walk down the street and you're saying Weetabix Go, is you recognised for that? Are you recognised a lot for Big Boys? Is it
not loads? No. I mean, when it's sort of on, there's a sort of, it's kind of in, you know, it's sort of around and it's in people's kind of minds a bit more. But yeah, so it depends. It doesn't happen very often. No, not really. I get a bit of everything. It depends where you are.
I just thought it's interesting the way TV's developing, because, like, you know, again, in the 90s, I mean, apart from my TV show, if you were on TV, then, you know, that was... There weren't many people on TV.
Were you hounded then?
No. I mean, no. And I mean, it was sort of so weird. The people who liked what we were doing, like, still like it 30 years later, but it was a minority. So what would happen... Yeah, exactly. There you go. 147 people in Northampton. One of them wasn't born at the time. Have stayed very loyal, but you know what would happen. I remember, like, there was one time a group of blokes were walking on the other side of the road and said, "It's that cunt off the TV. Let's get him."
Really?
Yeah, but then they didn't get me. I just carried on walking, but they didn't. They made out like they were going to.
Oh, we didn't get
beat
him.
The shit out of me.
We should have got
so
him.
They were just trying to scare me. And there was, like, what happened quite a lot. I remember being in the street and a guy would come up, be really excited, and go, "God, it's you! I love your show, guys! It's this guy!" And the others go, "Who is it?"
Yeah.
Like eight other blokes go, "Who is it?" And then the person who'd recognised me would get angry with me for not being famous enough to... I'd embarrass him by not being well-known enough for his friends to know who I was.
Or the friend that doesn't know you will go, no, he's not. You think, well, I don't know, you started this situation.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I get a lot of that.
Yeah.
I get like maybe one person in the group will recognise me, but the others, and he just then has to explain to them, and they just sort of stare like, as if like, well, go on, do something then. That's a sort of, well, come on then.
Fail to get an erection. Prove it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to fail.
Yeah.
I'm very different in real life. It's just a character I play.
Yeah.
Look, if you haven't seen Big Boys, do go and it's got lots of BAFTA nods, and it is really moving and funny, and it's great. So I hope it will go on and be successful for long years to come. But the new sitcom that I've seen that isn't yet out, but will be by the time this goes out, is called Smothered.
Yes.
Which again is, I think both these sitcoms have in common, a comedy drama, you might want to call them. Is that it's sort of a very honest look at the dating world. And so with the Big Boys, you know, Jack's character is gay, obviously, and there's and just finding his way in that world. And so there's some quite honest looks at the way that world works. And this, Smothered, is really interesting as a conceit, because your character just sort of bumps into someone who doesn't want a relationship, and your character sort of doesn't want a relationship, but then...
Yeah, they sort of start this kind of... pact, I guess,
yeah.
Where they decide to like, right, we're having 3 weeks of fun. We don't want to know any information about each other. And then it gets complicated. And like, he's got a kid and she's kind of like, Danielle Vitalis's character is like, just kind of wants to be sort of young and have fun and not interested in having kids. And he's got responsibilities and kids, and it's just, oh God. What's going to happen next? I think it's a different, it's a sort of unique take on that kind of rom-com thing. It was nice to be not, are there going to be any girls there? You know, and be a bit more like, mom, my daughter's here. That's more the sort of tone.
And I think it's that honesty in terms of like, even as they're sort of seeing each other and not seeing each other, they're seeing other people or, you know, they're trying to date other people. And you don't see that very much on TV, though. That is obviously the kind of, certainly the reality now, I think, that people are... It's all a bit more fluid in every way. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's very modern.
Yeah. I'm just super modern. Just jealous of you young guys for all the shenanigans you can get up to. So that's, is that just Channel 4 as well?
Sky.
Is that Sky? I should have known that. Because they're the people who managed to get you booked on the show. So,
okay.
You know, it's good to have ruined all of their
hard
work.
BAFTA, Sky. Who's next?
Sky is good. So Channel 4 Sky, you get a sitcom on every single channel. That should be your aim.
Yeah.
I want to be a postman in every sitcom.
Have you been a postman before?
I was a postman in Time, Gentlemen, Please, which I wrote. And then I thought, then I wanted to be... But Joe Wilkinson, who I interviewed... He does Afterlife, and I'm annoyed. And I think he's been a postman in another one.
I bet Jack can get you into a postman in Big Boys.
Get me in a postman. But I've got to be in every single sitcom. I can't just do it in one other sitcom. I've got to be
And
also, it's too late. I want to be in Only Fools and Horses.
On all of them.
Yeah, I'll start from now. I think I'm too old for this now. I think if it had happened in the year 2000, I said, all I'm going to do now is play postman in sitcoms. So just if that comes up as a role, give me a ring.
Yeah.
And then, but now it's just turned into me playing paedophiles and everything. So that'll be.
We've worked with the same. You did a short film. Was it The Bear? The mashed potatoes.
Oh yes, yeah.
Is it called The Bear?
It was called Hard to Swallow, I think.
Yeah, Matt Kirkby.
Yeah.
You know, I did a lot of KFC adverts with him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So you made
my first job.
You made some money. I didn't make any. That was really interesting. That was now I'm going to forget all of their names. Kerry Godman was it? Played my girlfriend, and that was really good fun. We ad libbed a lot.
Really
of stuff.
Horrible to each other.
Yeah, we were just horrible, and then I just ad libbed. I said something. She said, "Go and wank in a sock," and I said, "At least a sock has some elastic, doesn't it?" And I ad libbed that. He was a horrible character. I was very much in the character. Yeah. Very much in the character, and. And the really famous girl from off of all of everything. She was in it. Madonna, that's it. Madonna was in it. Madonna's. And the bloke who plays the journalist in Ted Lasso, he was in it before he looked. He was all young and he was in Alan Partridge.
That's right.
And his name was... Daisy Haggard was the woman I was thinking of. There you go, I knew I'd get it eventually. It's terrible getting old. Can't even remember. Everyone else was... The guy who played Nathan Barley was in it.
Yeah.
Nicholas.
Add the name late. Add me saying the name now.
Byrne?
I don't know.
Nicholas Byrne? Was it? Yeah.
That was really
just
good.
Just edit out the bit in between. Where I say the name later, I got it.
You see, I do an act with a ventriloquist dummy and at home. I just play this where my career has come. Look forward to your own future. But often I can't think of of the name of someone, and then the ventriloquist dummy will know the name.
Was I supposed to be the ventriloquist dummy?
I sort of did it then. I kind of got them all in the end. But like, if you stop thinking about something, then
is this a podcast?
Well, it's a Twitch stream. Oh, okay. It's a very popular Twitch stream with.
Oh, okay.
I mean, tens of viewers, I would say.
You're not playing a game.
It's live. It was a lockdown thing. It's a real, it's a real venture. I've got a 130-year-old ventriloquist dummy.
Oh, wow.
Made by my great-granddad. Oh. Let's not publicise my stuff. Sky are going to be furious, aren't they, when I come here? You just talked about Twitch of fun all the time. I talked to puppets for an hour.
About
the news. It's good. I think it's the best thing I've done. Before we go on to talk about anything else, I'm going to ask you some emergency questions from books available in the foyer after the show. This is 1001 emergency questions. I'm going to go random and then I might go specific. This is admittedly a question for children, but I'm going to ask it to you. Do you ever wonder if you are secretly a prince and that you'll one day take your rightful place on the throne? Have you ever wondered that?
No, I mean, I guess the closest thing would be to go on that program.
Who do you think you are? Yeah.
I reckon you could tell. I reckon they go on and they say, look, I need to be a prince or something. And they just go whichever direction to find this thing.
Yeah. I think it's a bit more complicated than that. But
do you think?
I think that if you can find if you can get to a certain point, then you can find people are related to.
Right.
Because there are records. It's just finding the records. Obviously, we're all related to King Henry VIII, probably, or Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Or whoever. Jesus. Controversial, but... Eve in Africa, we're definitely all related. There's an African, very, very old skeleton that we're definitely all in. As a kid, I used to think, I was quite brought up in a quite religious household, and there was a part of me that thought, maybe I'm the new Jesus, but then I thought that was a bit arrogant.
Wow.
So then I sort of thought maybe I'd be one of the new Jesus' disciples.
Oh, so you thought that the whole lot would come back?
Well, I just thought that Jesus would come back and he'd need 12 more disciples than I could be one of the disciples.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
Yeah, probably the one who betrayed
him. No, I never thought I was going to be a prince.
No, nothing
special. Never thought I was going to be a prince. No.
And at what age did you want to be an actor, and was that because you wanted to... What drove you to want to perform, do you think?
It was definitely my mum took us to loads of theatre and took us to loads of shows, and she was just really into it. She was a bit of a sort of arty mum.
Right.
I guess it was sort of seen as a valid, normal kind of, that's okay to want to do that, which is definitely part of the reason I think I've been able to do it, because I haven't had that voice in my head being like, get a real job.
Yeah, that's good.
I think is probably... the main battle that most of people I know that do this job face, I think, is just like, should I carry on doing this? Probably not.
Especially as an actor, which I guess you mainly are now. I don't know if you're going back to doing stand-up and character stuff, but you're so
like
busy
to.
That you probably can't go back to it. But if as an actor, it feels, I don't know, if you can get over that hump and people know you, then you can get... you can get into a slightly safer position maybe for a while. Don't want to cloud it for you. This is going to last a couple of years and that's it, John. But, even nothing secure. Nobody's in a secure position. Even the Fonz. Henry Winkler's just written a book about how, you know, he was top of the world. He was the Fonz in Happy Days Before Your Time.
Sad.
And then once that ended, he couldn't get work for years and years because he was the Fonz.
Yeah.
I don't think that any of the roles
you
you've done...
You think just stay sort of lukewarm throughout?
I just think it's, you know, there's no guarantees, really. You know, that's the thing. So it is a really difficult thing. And I think the first bit's the hardest bit, is getting to a point where you're getting work.
Yeah.
So once you're getting work, you have a bit more safety, and you do seem to be, like, you know, there's a group of people who are doing well and who will kind of turn up in each other's things, and you know, you're definitely you're in Jamie Demetrio's Netflix thing playing a Love Island host, like the host of the show.
That was really fun.
Yeah,
that was a really fun day actually, just because it was just completely silly and. I didn't really know exactly what was going to happen. And sort of one by one, people would come out of the makeup chair looking more and more ridiculous.
Right.
And it was just, I hope I always do days like that. It was great.
Yeah. But it seems like it's going that way. So, you know, it's good. But it's getting to that point and all the people who tried to do it and, you know, having that... Maybe there's a bit of luck or there's a bit of hard work or something at the start that kind of pushes you on the way. But it's, you know, I know you've been going a lot longer than it seems to like the casual observer, but it feels like you just kind of, to me, it feels like, wow, there's that guy and there he is again and there he is and that thing and there he is again.
Yeah, I think, I suppose it sort of always does maybe look a bit like that because the bit that you don't see is, you know, there's nothing really happening. You're just sort of talking about it a lot and thinking about it and hoping for it or whatever. But yeah, why did I want to do this?
Because whether you're going to be a prince or a princess, that's why.
Yeah.
It's better than a prince or a princess. Right, I'm going to ask you another emergency question. I'm going to go old school classic. You watch how thrilled the people of Northampton are. They have a very empty life. They spend all day just making shoes. They're like little elves. They're out there, whatever that thing's called, you put shoes on.
I went to the shoe place. I went to the shoe exhibition.
Do not the. The whole place is a shoe exhibition. You can't just say that. The shoe, they'll go, how dare you say the shoe exhibition. Every shop is a shoe shop. Everyone works in...
Do you want your gift?
Yeah, I'd love my gift, before you... Is it a shoe? Is it one shoe? Oh, look. There we go.
All right, basically, I got here early because I was like, I've never been to Northampton before, so I thought I'd go... To just sort of look around. I went to the art gallery, I went to a charity
that's
shop.
That's nice. Look, talking of shoes, thanks for having me. And there's a picture of some shoes there. Yeah, I don't need to tell you.
That's from there's a punk exhibition on.
Thanks for having me and giving me a good reason to come to Northampton. If it goes well, maybe we'll come back one day and I'll take you up the lift shaft. I read
Do you like the sound of that?
Yeah, I do. I love the sound of it, John. I'm an old man and I'll take it wherever I can get it. I read a whole article on the internet about wishing that you were gay, basically, but also like there's been...
AI?
I don't think it's AI. I don't know. It reads like AI. It reads like a lot of people have been saying he might be gay, but then there's rumours that he's got a girlfriend and might be married, and he hasn't mentioned that for a bit, so maybe he's become gay again. But it's just like it was a very hopeful article written by someone. I think it's
AI generates articles what they think people will click on.
Okay.
So they're like, oh, is John Poynting gay? Well, we need to know. So they've created this article.
Yeah.
I think. I've had it read to me before.
It's written in a very... It's very weirdly written, so I think that might be true.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, next. No need to tell you guys what this is. It's very useful.
Got to shoehorn that one in.
Shoehorn. Northampton, I'm not going to do... I've got the horn joke. I'm not going to do it. So shoehorn. It's got a nice leather... So you can hang that... On your...
Right by the door.
Right by the door, like on
by
the...
By your bed.
Yeah. By the bed. I don't need to. Well, sometimes I don't need help getting it in.
You sort of tip you in.
I mean, if it's... Yeah. If it's very... If it's very soft, which it sometimes gets... I mean, I don't need to tell you you've done the research on this, but if it's... I mean, I guess I could place...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that would at least get things going.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, maybe it's always had that dual purpose, hence its name.
I think so.
And a DVD, Goal 2, Living the Dream. exclusive coverage of your favourite Real Madrid players. Next stop, the World Cup. Can't wait. Johnny Vaughan, Sun Online. That's the review.
His review is, can't wait for what?
Can't wait for the World Cup.
It's a fictional film, Johnny.
But also, it's not even about the film. So it's bonus features. Yeah, I'll look at the
menu
for this. Footballer Santiago Munez's Kuno Becker story continues. I haven't seen the first one. Do you think that'll matter?
You're joking.
Newcastle is in this action-packed movie. Newcastle United's favourite player reaches superstardom and every footballer's dream when he's transferred to Real Madrid to play in the UEFA European Champions League. That's not everyone's dream.
It's not everyone's dream.
It's not by no means.
To make a film, and I think the real footballers are in it.
They are. It's alongside David Beckham, Zinedine Zidane, Raul Guti, I don't know who he is, Iker Casillas, I've never heard of him, I don't really know much about football, as Santiago basks in the glory, acclaim and money. I bet it's going to go wrong for him. He thinks that's going to be good. This is the same for you.
This is what I thought. You're basking
in glory, acclaim and money, yeah, and BAFTA award nominations. He discovers the ugly face of success.
I didn't even win, but the nominations are so it just messes with
one that threatens to destroy everything he's worked for and everyone he loves. Fucking hell. This film finds amazing.
As soon as we left the BAFTAs, that's what it was. Sarah, my wife's here, wasn't it? Just awful.
It's going to destroy everyone he loves.
Yeah.
Fuck. Filled with breathless football action in real games with real football legends.
Breakfast football action?
Breathless. Brexit. Filled with Brexit football.
Breakfast football action.
It's a thrilling adrenaline rush. I'm going to watch it with my wife tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
She won't be very happy. I'm going to get goal one.
But you did want... That is what you wanted.
It was like exactly that. If you know, I wanted a shoehorn... sexual innuendo about being bummed and a DVD of a film I've never heard of. That is exactly good. I wish everyone bought him presents. It's you and Adam Buxton. Adam Buxton bought me presents for going on his podcast. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Bought me some Earl Grey tea. I don't really like it.
Okay.
And a little ball you could put it was like loose Earl Grey tea and it was like a little teabag thing you could dip it in with. It's great, but I don't ever use it. So I don't like Earl Grey tea. This is daily. Yeah.
This is probably every, Christmas?
Yeah, definitely. That could replace the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Christmas film? Yeah. Easter film? I don't know.
Yeah. If they put some Muppets in it, then I can convince the whole family to do it.
Kick the ball, you Muppet.
Right. I don't know if I've got the book out to do this question, but watch the people of Northampton, how excited they are when I do that. Well, just watch how their whole demeanour changed. They haven't had that good a time so far, but this is gonna change their lives. John Poynting, would you rather have a hand made out of ham?
I know this one.
Look at that. See, I told you. Or an armpit that dispenses sun cream. So lovely to come out of London.
Obviously, my head.
Yeah.
Says hand cream. The sun's hand cream.
Sun cream. Sun cream. You can't have hand cream. You could use the sun cream.
My head says
cream.
This, but there is something about the ham hand that I'm really drawn to.
Okay.
Just the idea that I could sort of...
put in a sandwich.
Well, just someone could go on, grow back.
Grows back. If you eat the whole thing greedily, it'll take a while. But if you nibble it...
Like, I could go... I say, grab that roll, cut it open, get a piece in 2 hours and go on, mate. That'd be nice.
Well, it's nice that you're thinking of other people. I don't know if other people want to eat your dirty fucking hand ham.
What's it? It's just grown back.
It's all right for you to eat it. What have you been doing with that hand?
I don't understand. Is this good ham? Why is this bad ham now? You didn't say you've got a manky ham.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's all right for you to eat. It's like you can eat your own fingernails and stuff. But if I went, can't eat, chew my food. Can I have a little chew? I see you on the fingernail. You can have one of mine.
In my head, it was like really good ham.
Yeah, well, you could wrap some, cling film around it.
You know, like when you get fancy ham, they put it in the white paper.
Yeah.
It's always in that.
Okay.
And then you just peel it back. It's got like those little sort of pistachios in it and bits of fat.
Yeah. Will you promise you will never wipe your ass with that hand?
No.
Can't promise.
Because I will want to know what it feels like. No, I'm going for the sun cream, obviously. Yeah. I think that would be nice. I think that would be quite nice because I'm assuming it goes...
Yeah, you're
assuming it comes out when you do that.
Yeah.
And you're... who's forgotten sun cream? You're useful.
Yeah.
It's hidden away.
Yeah. You've got to look after your skin. You're an actor. You've got to stay looking beautiful.
It doesn't like dribble out or anything on its own, or it's
I can't guarantee that.
And is there a nozzle?
There's a nozzle.
Does that stick out like that?
I mean, I think it would stick out a little way, yeah. But yeah, it's nice that you want to put the sun cream on other people as well. Both the ham hand and the... No one else has been as giving and sharing as you have. Admittedly,
what,
no one wants... No one wants your manky ham hand or your disgusting armpit as sun cream. Do you want to have some sun cream from my armpit?
Understand.
No, fuck off, John. I don't want it. Use it on yourself. It's been in your sweat glands and everything. You use it.
Also, the sun cream comes from within me.
Yeah.
It's not magic. It's like been... It's...
I think it's a bit of both.
My body's.
I think your body's
like
creating
pus.
It. Yeah, it's like pus. Yeah.
And is there anything that if I got a cold, would there be less of it, or it go hard, or something?
I don't think that would. I don't think a cold would affect it. I think if you left the nozzle, if the nozzle came off, the top bit might coagulate a bit.
Okay.
But then I think just do that and it would square.
And the hard bits would shoot out. Shoot those off.
Yeah.
And then we're back to normal.
Good. Very good answer to that question, John. Well done.
Well done. Well done to you.
Oh, my goodness.
Well done.
Time's flown by. So the other things I wanted to talk to you about, you're a good artist, I noticed. I saw you on your Twitter feed. You'd drawn a picture of Prince as Vincent van Gogh.
Yeah.
Very good. So what's...
They both had epilepsy.
Did they?
Well, that was... I Googled who famous had epilepsy.
Ah, and this
it was for a charity thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, let's do these two.
Wow. And it's good. It looks like...
Thanks.
Yeah, it looks like...
I know, I was a bit... Because they asked... I'm trying to figure what they asked me. I guess they... Yeah. And I hadn't done a drawing in ages. So I was quite pleased with that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you've seen it.
Well, I've seen it. I've done those things and I literally do something that a child would be embarrassed about.
Yeah, so. But they're sort of, in a way, they're sort of better in a way because it sort of looks a bit like you're like... Huh? Whereas I think if you just do a doodle, it's kind of almost better.
I've got... Well, what you have to do is have a child who turns out to be quite good at art and now I get her to do them for me.
Oh, that's...
So we had to do a VW van for a charity thing, colour in this VW van and make it whatever we wanted. And I just coloured in some grass and my daughter did everything else.
Oh.
And she was very excited. It made like 100 and... I can't remember what it was. It was like a lot of money.
Well, that's because they thought
it didn't go
to
her, but she thought, oh, I can get like 200 quid every time I do one of these now. So
the person buying it is like, they know it's your daughter.
It's by me and my daughter.
Okay, they
knew. There was a connection to me, but I honestly think I'd have got nothing and she did. She did she's good.
That's sweet.
You know, and think about it. If she grows up to be, I was going to say, there's an art, she's called Phoebe Herring, my daughter, and there's not many people called Phoebe Herring in the world, but there's an artist called Phoebe Herring. So if she becomes an artist, there's going to be a fight between the art, Phoebe Herring.
Is your middle name Keith?
Yes, it is. Have you been researching me?
No, I was like, to Sarah on the way here, she was like, she'd never listened to the podcast.
Yeah, never heard of me, that's fine.
And I was like, well, let's put one on, and you can do it, you know, on your voice, on your Siri.
Yeah.
Play Richard Herring, I said search Richard Herring, and I basically it just came up with this little paragraph about you and said your middle name is Keith.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's my funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. Isn't it? Do you like it? My dad's called Keith Herring.
Wow.
Although he's called Thomas Keith Herring, but he decided to call himself Keith Herring. What a fucking weird decision that was. So his middle name is Keith, but he went by Keith. And since he was like
Keith
in the 1930s, I mean, I can't believe there was anyone called Keith in the 1930s. Keith feels like it was invented in 1973.
Yeah, so maybe it was quite sort of exotic or edgy then.
I mean, no, it's a Scotch name. So
Keith, there we go.
That's one for my Scotch fans. So well done on that drawing. I've got hardly any time left. You worked with Nick Helm.
Yes, yeah.
What was that? I don't know if I saw that. So it was called The Killing Machine.
It was a sort of short film that he made. I think it was a bit like... It was sort of a... Yeah, we did it at Repton Boxing Club. It's quite a famous boxing club in Bethnal Green. There we go. That was nice. One of the trainers was there and he sort of, you know, showed me how to kind of box a little bit. It was nice. I'm trying to think. It was quite a while ago now.
Yeah, just wondered. I'm a big fan of Nick Helms.
Yeah, it was really... I mean, he's lovely. And it was... I think we did a gig together. And you know, when you're like, you're just kind of on the bill, and it very much depends whether your stuff's going to go down well, who the headliner is, right? And I did a gig with him, and I was always sort of felt like, okay, great, you know.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah.
Look, you've got, so coming up or just gone by, Big Boys. Big Boys. The problem with doing a fucking million podcasts on tour is by the people who do this podcast in March, their podcast won't go out till 2025 unless I start putting out loads. So you're actually doing well because you're in the first half of the tour. Yeah, you've got Big Boys, absolutely recommend. Smothered, which I've seen two episodes of and it's great. I really like it. It's, again, there's a lot of characters in this, so I'm looking forward to seeing where it all goes, because you're the main two couple. You and the couple. And on IMDb, it says you're doing something called Murder Is Easy.
Oh, that's the Agatha Christie. I saw it pop up in that. Get me a caved in.
Oh, really?
Go on.
Is that a TV or a movie?
It's TV. It's like the Christmas special, the Agatha Christie Christmas special.
Yeah, the Agatha Christie.
Christmas special. That was nice. Up in Glasgow for a while.
So it's all ticking along pretty nicely, John.
Pretty nicely.
Now you've done Rahulastapa.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Rahulastapa.
Now you can just retire gracefully. Give me your BAFTAs. I know you'll have to wait till you.
Have I misstepped by talking about that? I feel bad now.
No, I have.
You have.
Yeah.
Ah, that's all right.
I'll never win a BAFTA again after this.
Yeah.
You know, not doing anything on film or TV is also a slight issue. Slight issue for that. Look, it's really nice to meet you, and I'm a big fan of yours and fantastic work. Do watch those shows, you'll really enjoy them. Ladies and gentlemen, the fantastic John Boynton. Thank you for the gifts as well. Thank you. You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, John Poynting. Thank you to Scant Regard for providing the music. I'm indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, and Ben Evans, not that one, and Beck Cliff, and George, the incompetent sound man, and everyone at The Royal in Northampton. Thank you so much, and everyone at Acast. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. richardherring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And GoFasterStripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who's said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show. If you enjoyed it, if you want to see me, that'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.